Welcome everyone to the Healing from Lyme and Chronic Illness Summit. I'm Dr. Christine Schaffner, and today my guest is Eileen McCusick, and we're going to be talking about what does it mean to have radiant electric health. So welcome, Eileen. It's really an honor to have you.
Thanks, Christine. It's always a pleasure to speak with you about health-related things.
Oh, thank you. Well, before we were hopping on and I shared, you know, our audience and shared, you know, really, you know, the message I want to get across in this interview, and you had shared with me your personal story that you have struggled in the past with ehrlichiosis, which is a co-infection of Lyme. And so I think that would really help people, because as I'm sitting in front of you, you clearly have radiant health and a full life. And so for anyone who might not be at that place at this time, I think always stories of hope about what healing is possible is always a fun way to start.
Yeah. Well, it was really interesting. What happened was my husband and I both lived in Connecticut, and we had dogs and cats, and we were always pulling ticks off of each other. This one day, for whatever reason, we were taking a shower together, which we never did. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that he had a tick on his shoulder, and I pulled it off. And he's like, wow, you have one. And I have one in the exact same spot. And he pulled it off, and it went down the drain. And then the next day, he got so sick with Lyme, and he went to the doctor and he got a prescription, but he had night sweats, right? That's one of the acute symptoms, is that you have this high fever and sweats. And so we were sleeping in separate beds the next night, and I woke up in the sun, and I woke up and I was so hot. I went and got the thermometer, and my temperature was 106.1. And I was like, oh my, I never seen a temperature that high, right? So I went in and I woke up my husband. I'm like, you need to take me to the hospital. I'm really sick. And he's like, what? No, I'm the one sick. And I was like, no, I'm sicker than you. And so we ended up getting his mom, and she came and brought me to the hospital. I didn't have Lyme, and so they tested and figured out that I had ehrlichiosis. But I was only the second pregnant woman to ever be diagnosed with ehrlichiosis, and they knew that the antibiotic that they gave was contraindicated in pregnancy. And so my fever was like up to 106 for a few days. And then I developed this terrible cough. The antibiotic that they gave me just like this incredibly horrible yeast infection. And I was such a mess. And then I finally went home, and we were really worried that I had like basically nuked my baby, right? Because like, you're not even supposed to go in a hot tub that's 102 degrees. And I'd had like my internal oven set it bake really high. And apparently, and I found this out after the fact, that the majority or almost all women who get ehrlichiosis in the first trimester miscarriage. But I was just like a couple days into my second trimester, like there somehow a little guy like got under the wire, and he came out fine, thankfully, right? And we were really kind of nervous about that. But I was not fine. Like I, for the rest of my pregnancy and then for months afterwards, like just carrying a basket of laundry up the stairs, like I just had to sit and recover, which was incredibly difficult for me because I'm a very high energy person. And prior to that, I had been a very high energy person, but I had been honestly like too high an energy person, and I had spread myself too thin. I was busy taking care of my first child. I had taken care of my mom when she was dying, and then I took care of my dad. I was taking care of a restaurant. Like I had kind of given my energy away and was sort of running on adrenaline. And that is part of why it hit me so hard, you know, because I was already depleted on a lot of levels. But it was like the spirit of will and guilt and obligation and like, you know, I'm just going to take care of everybody to the expense of myself. And then sometimes when you get something like that, it's actually a gift. It's your body being like, oh, I'll use this window of opportunity, you know, like slow down. And that's what happened. But it, you know, I feel like what got me back to health, honestly, Christine, relatively quickly, because I did go through months of exhaustion. But as my energy started to pick up, I started working with my tuning forks more and more, you know, and I had already started using them in 1996. This was, 1999. It was 2000 when I got ehrlichiosis. So I'd already been using them for a few years, and then it kind of knocked me back for a while. But then I started using them again, and I really feel, because when you get something like Lyme, really any kind of what we call an autoimmune disorder, right? There's two drop in your overall voltage, your overall energy level, like your battery meter, right? You just gotta go boom. And you lose coherence too. You lose organization. So the body's like, I just can't get my act together. You know, we don't feel good. The laundry's piling up, the dishes are piling up, right? And can't bring order. And our bodies get like that. And so sound, working with sound, introduces both energy and order to the system. And so I recovered fully from that. You know, didn't have any lingering or leftover symptoms at all because I continued to work with sound. And I think that had a lot to do with it, honestly.
I love that. And I, you know, I've been through learning from you and just, you know, my other colleagues trying to incorporate, you know, the work that really addresses the biofield more and more with my patients with chronic illness and, you know, chronic Lyme and, you know, these things. And, you know, sound is such a, you know, powerful therapeutic that I think is still very much underestimated. And, you know, that's why, of course, I'm having you on here. So I love that you've had, I mean, I'm sorry that you suffered, and thank goodness that your child is okay. And obviously that, you know, that was a big you know, deal in your health, but I am so glad that you learned the power of your medicine, right? You know, through this, and you know, got to experience recovering through that modality. And I mean, we want to talk about a lot of things today, and you mentioned two things that I really want to land on, and it's a big theme for your talk is, you know, first this idea of we are have this electrical health, right? So you talked about voltage, right? So, can you just kind of, some people know about this, but still, this is a new idea about having, you know, electric health. So what do we mean by that?
Well, our body has an electrical system that we never really learn about. You know, we're pretty much told that any kind of electricity that might be going on in the body is a consequence of some kind of chemical reaction. However, my own research kind of led me to the discovery of the electrical system in its entirety. And most of us realize that our body runs on electricity, right? Your heart is an electrically driven oscillator. When it loses its rhythm, its electrical rhythm, you get an electrical pacemaker that electrically juices it up, right? Our brain waves are electric. Most people get that. You're going to be talking with Gerald Pollack. You know, he talks about the state of our electric water in our cell. Every cell membrane has electric charge across the surface. And what this ends up painting is a picture of an electrical system. And you know, if anybody is kind of a geek about this, you go back and you read Robert O. Becker's books from the late 70s and 80s, and he was talking about our electrical system back then, right? It just never became part of the conversation. And part of that is because we've been indoctrinated into a chemical mechanical approach to life and our health and our bodies. So if something in us goes south, then we need, you know, pills or supplements or drugs or surgery or physical therapy, right? So that's a very reductionist physical way of looking at stuff. And so we don't consider the electrical system. So the term biofield, right? So my first book is called Tuning the Human Biofield, and my sound therapy method is called Biofield Tuning. That was a Beverly Rubik was part of that panel that chose the term biofield as a scientific term for what we would call otherwise the aura or the human energy field, which has always been something that's like divisive, pseudoscience may or may not exist. What's the energy and energy medicine? Blah, blah, blah. Like there's this whole thing around all of that. And, you know, what I've come to see is something that lays that argument to rest so easily. And that is that anything that has an electric current running through it has a magnetic field around it. And that's just basic science. And our human bodies are no different. We have electric current running through us. It's that electric current that determines whether we're alive or dead. are, you know, when we're alive, we're li is the same thing as our electrical system. And I've had arguments with professors of philosophy who told me that I have no soul. I was like, maybe you have no soul. I mean,
Not the world
so
we're in.
there's this whole sort of Jedi mind trick of, oh, you don't have an electrical system, and oh, you don't have a soul, you know. But meanwhile, it is that is alive. And when we die, our light goes out. And many people have had the experience of actually seeing light leave the body when somebody dies. And not only that, they've done experiments where they've weighed people before and after death, and they weigh a little bit less. And my experience of using sound to work with the electrical system has shown me that it does, in fact, have mass to it. In fact, when I was first discovering the mass in the field, I was like, this has mass. I was like, this should be studied by science. This is not some esoteric thing. This is an actual body. Biological reality, and we should not be arguing about whether or not it may or may not exist and actually exploring it. Because I've been able to do amazing things primitively poking around with a tuning fork. Like, if I can do this with a tuning fork, what else can we discover here?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love how you also break it down to this very, biophysical principle, right? We have electric currents, we have electric fields, therefore we have magnetic fields and vice versa, right? So there, we can't deny that. And when we talk about this and we talk about, electric health, the biofield, you have educated me and many, a few others about this idea of, us in the context of the electric universe, right? And so this idea or this kind of theories of ideas around, that we are in this very, it's talking about the plasma and the ether and how we're all very interconnected. And so that kind of was like another light bulb for me of like, okay, we have these bodies and then we have this whole other way of looking at life. It's not this empty, space or vacuum, that it's electrically charged, and that's how we interact with life, right? So can you just share some of your thoughts on the electric universe and introduce that idea to our audience?
Sure. Well, most of us were raised in a world of a pla of solid, liquid, and gas, right? That's what that I learned about, solid, liquid, and gas. And that's the world that I lived in, trying to solve problems in for a long time. You know, I had all of the broke, sick, fat, miserable, bad marriage, blah, 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 all that stuff going on. And it wasn't for lack of trying for it to be different, right? I mean, I invested so much time and money and energy into self-help books. You know, I walked on coal, 65 feet of coals with Tony Robbins. I did all this stuff, but at the age of 40, 41, 42, I still had all the same problems that I had before. But then there was this one day where everything kind of changed, and this whole I went down a rabbit hole that really opened my eyes to what ended up being not just one state of matter, plasma, but also another state of matter, ether, and then two additional forces of nature as well. Because I discovered and learned about syntropy, which is the opposite of entropy, sometimes called negative entropy. And like the most amazing thing that anything comes into being, we could grow a baby in our belly, or that trees or galaxies or anything are born. And science calls that negative entropy, which is so strange to me. Again, it's like you don't have a soul, you don't have an energy field. Like, the amazingness of creation is negative entropy. It's very depressing. It's like intentionally downer, and it was in discovering these additional states of matter, especially plasma. So what is plasma? And plasma is basically the flow of electric charge. And it isn't, there's this sort of myth that people think it's, oh, plasma only happens in like galaxies and stars. It's only really hot. And that's not true, because there's cold plasmas, there's all kinds of plasmas. The flow of electricity around a wire is a plasma. Northern lights are a plasma. The sun is a plasma. We live in an electromagnetic environment. The surface of the earth has charge. The atmosphere has charge. Depending on where you are and at what altitude, there's different kinds of charge. And so the oxygen, just something as simple as oxygen, we think of it, oh, this is a chemical in the chemical environment that we're breathing in. But oxygen has free electrons, and it's these free electrons that actually bind to the hemoglobin in our blood. It's light, it's electricity. Why your blood goes from blue to red? Because now it's got the glow of light in it. And so it's this, it's oxygen that, you know, that gets dropped off at our cells, those electrons. So learning to kind of switch our language from chemical speak to electric speak. And one of the other key kind of pieces in that is something that I got from Jerry Tennant. And that, have you ever interviewed Jerry, Christine?
You know, I haven't yet. I tried once and he was hard to, you know, get, but he came to one of my classes when I was at the University of Virginia right in like 2000, a complementary and alternative medicine class. And he was like definitely planted a seed for me at the time with his, you know, whole, his book is Healing This Voltage, you know, so I admire his work. Yeah,
he was very influential on me in helping me to understand, you know, what it was that I was beginning to discover. And one of the key kind of a keystone of translation from chemical speak to electric speak, he talks about how low pH is low voltage. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about how disease happens in a low pH environment, it happens in a low voltage environment. You do not have your battery up to sufficient juice for your cells and everything to do everything that they need to do. There just isn't enough gumption. The battery meter is too low. So low pH is the same thing as a low battery meter. And the number one place that we get electric juice from that makes our battery meter go back up is our breath. Because we can go for weeks without food. I know sometimes it feels like you can't get through the day without food, but really you can go a long time without food. Days without liquid, we can only go a few minutes without breath. It's the electricity and oxygen that drives our electric current. And so if you're sitting slumped over and you're doom scrolling, you are not breathing, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why exercise is so good for us, because it makes us breathe more and it gets more current flowing through our system. And I think that people who've had a lot of trauma, and I was one of them, you know, not a lot in the grand scheme of trauma, but enough to, you know, make me need self-help for decades, to be successful, right? So it's like just damaged enough to figure out how to fix it so I can help others with what I've learned. But when you've had a lot of things that make you hold your breath, right? Like I was the youngest of six. So I was always getting picked on. I was the youngest and littlest at school. I was the bottom of the pecking order. So I was always like in defensive posture and holding my breath. So anybody who grew up with any kind of, you know, bad vibes coming at you, however that looked like, you have a lot of deep subconscious tension in your body that is inhibiting you from breathing freely. And so one of the things that I say, and I really feel this is true, is that the degree of freedom we experience in our breath is directly related to the degree of freedom we experience in our life. Mm-hmm. Right? And freedom being health, right? Like health is freedom and vice versa. And they are both a place of expansive, free breath.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And I couldn't agree more. And, I, you know, what I would love for people to hear with that explanation is that tie-in that, you know, your work is called biofield tuning, right? So you're working with the biofield, you've already introduced that idea. And you have this definition of the biofield, and I think you expanded upon it maybe as you, you know, evolved kind of your thought, but in your book, Electric, about electric health, around it's not only this field, but it can like the plasma that's, you know, around us. And I guess as we're talking about this topic, healing, you know, from chronic illnesses and increasing our voltage and working with these concepts, can you just take it another step and share that, you know, how we have this toroidal field that's filled with plasma and just what that contains and how we can work with it to really recover our health? Because I just, brilliant. So,
So, well, yeah, coming back to that, like, what is a biofield? What is the electrical system? You know, the biofield term was to kind of talk about the field.
Right.
But what I've really come to see is that you can't separate the electric current running through the body from the field around it. Like what I've seen and felt and heard and sensed with thousands of clients over 25 years now is that whatever is going on in the body as far as how electricity is flowing is also going on in the field. So the field is kind of like an exploded view of the body. Now, again, a really basic science principle is that magnetic fields guide and inform electric currents. Okay? So what we figured out how to do with tuning forks is figure out, where is the jam up of electricity? Let's say you've got a lot of pain in your left shoulder. We're going to find a jam up corresponding in the field as well, in the magnetic field. And so by using sound to influence and manipulate, we can use actually a tuning fork kind of oddly like a magnet and actually move the way the magnetic energy is flowing in the field, which then causes the electric current in the body to follow suit. Okay. So what's going on there is what, again, this sort of hypothesis that I've come up with to explain what I was observing is that the electrical system is shaped like a torus or a toroid, and that's a sphere with a spiral channel down the center. And we draw up the negative charge from the surface of the earth through what we call the ascending current, and we draw in the positive charge from the sun and the environment through the descending current, and these spiral around each other. Now, this also fits the model, the ancient Vedic model of the Ida and the Pingala. It's the same kind of idea. The red being the earth energy and the white being actually alludes to is these two currents intertwining around each other. And then they circulate at a boundary. So I think previously when I'd been thinking about auras or human energy fields, I was under the impression that it was something that sort of dissipated and became more fine as it went outward. But what I discovered in my own practice, exploring the atmosphere around people's bodies with my tuning forks, or like sonar, like bouncing off these invisible features in, hidden in plain view around us, but the sonar kind of revealed the texture and the patterns and the things that were going on in the magnetic field and how they related to what was going on in the body. And so what I observed and felt was that there was a boundary. Now, in plasma physics and electric universe theory, there's what are called double layer membranes, where there is additional electric charge out at the boundary of something. And the model of the toroid is something that repeats itself fractally throughout nature. Anything that has an electric current has a magnetic field, and it takes on this toroidal self-sustaining shape. So that is my hypothesis, is that the biofield is both the electric current running through us and the magnetic field around us in this toroidal structure. Now, what is also kind of important about this whole idea of the biofield is that, in my observation, it contains all of our memories, and that our memories are held in standing waves within the bubble of our bioplasmic biosphere. And I have actually mapped the field and discovered that certain types of memories related to particular emotions live in different areas, and that if people have experienced a lot of a particular emotion and not digested it properly, not expressed how they feel, that there will be a buildup of electromagnetic energy in an imbalanced way in that particular zone. So the biofield anatomy map speaks to what I've seen, consistently through so many people. If somebody ends up with a lot of left shoulder pain, it's almost always related to heavy sadness and grief or depression that they are not expressing. And so that there's that's the ch where charge has built up. So brain memories are not stored in our brain, in my hypothesis. I mean, we don't see information stored in fat anywhere in nature, but we do see information electromagnetically stored in standing waves. And then if you think about it, like every single thing that we see, smell, touch, taste, feel, experience is all happening in the body at the level of electrical impulses. Therefore, it makes sense that our memories are stored in our electrical system. And if our electrical system is us, And we take our experiences with us in our electrical system when we pass on. That could explain how we end up with old souls and child prodigies and all of that, because that information has already been encoded in that electrical system that is differentiated.
Wow, that's a wonderful explanation for like a lot of complex topics. And then do you see the brain as more like a receiver, like kind of a transducer of the field of information, and that's why it gets caught up in that caught up in the conversation of memory? Or do you have another kind of way of how we actually recall these memories in the field?
Well, you know, my current theory, my current hypothesis, I guess, because it was recently challenged by somebody, Dr. Tom Cowan, you know, started to really get me thinking about the nature of a cell and how we don't really know about cells, but we think about cells. But I've based on my research up to this point.
Yeah, I did an interview with him on that, and that like kind of blew my mind. I was like, okay, what do we do with this? So yeah, digesting this other perspective.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's really important that we all keep that in mind, that we all have to keep an open mind. You know, I say that I don't have all the answers. I'm a student. I'm a lay person. I'm, you know, always taking in more information and being willing to kind of shift my hypothesis of it, you know. But as far as like what I, based on what I know so far, that every cell membrane has little antenna on it. And I first learned about those from Bruce Lipton in The Biology Belief, these primary cilium. And that they respond to, they both broadcast and receive vibrational information from the environment, both intercellular communication and environmental vibes. And so, you know, all we learn about is this lock and key thing, and everything is chemistry. And all of a sudden, like, I'm like, wow, we have little antennas on ourselves. Like, that's the biological mechanism for like sensing vibes. You know, it isn't like intuition that some women may have. Like, we have biological vibe sensing apparatus. That's a pretty cool thing to know about. But apparently within these are an additional structure called a microtubule. And I believe that the microtubule functions on a vibrational level and actually is what responds to and retrieves the information from the field. Part of the reason why I think this is that they've discovered that people with Alzheimer's, that their microtubules are failing. So if the antenna apparatus for retrieving the memories isn't working at a cellular level, doesn't mean the memories aren't still there in the field. It's just they can't be retrieved into the body. And I don't think it happens just in the brain, because we have what we call muscle memory, right? Cellular memory, like our whole being, everything has antennas and access and remembers things. You know, my right foot remembers all the time I stepped on Legos when my kids were little. Like, it's all in there.
I agree with you. And I think, there's so much to learn in that kind of new lens of seeing the physical body and how it interacts with the field. And the microtubulin, and then, James Oshman's work with like the living matrix, right? So like, it's like all this highly interconnected network, right? From the microtubulin to even the collagen, the fascia, like we're all interconnected, and it's almost this, electrical net, like fiber optic network of where we, you know, where electrons and protons and biophonons and biophotons travel, you know, in the body, you know. And so I'm always trying to, you know, think, you know, how these therapies work that you brought to the forefront, and what I work with in my office, like they're working on, you know, that level, you know, trying to have that lens. So it will be fun to see where, you know, where our knowledge base continues to evolve with these pioneering thoughts. So bringing it back, you know, to patients who are listening, who are struggling, we call this talk, you're rating electric health. So how can people like listening today, you know, with this knowledge, you know, how can they start implementing and bringing in some things that they can do to, you know, have more radiant health in their life?
Well, first of all, I learned this by doing everything wrong the hard way first, right? Just so you know, like, you can look at me now and go, Eileen, you're happy and you're in Jamaica and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there's a lot of suffering and just self-sabotaging behavior and just ignorance and misunderstanding, you know, that kind of kept me stuck for a long time. So The number one thing that I've really come to see, both in myself and with all the clients that I worked with, is that 90% of our problems are emotionally based. And the reason for that is because who modeled effective emotional management? Like, raise your hand if you did, right? I bet you hardly anyone is going to raise their hand, Christine. Did your parents model effective emotional management?
Nope.
No. I mean, great parents, and I love them, and I don't, you know, but they did not do it right. My mom did stuff and blow. My father used to go off like a volcano. I mean, it was, they did not. And at the same time, while they engaged in all of this wrong emotional behavior, we were told to take it to our room or to put it away or to stop our nonsense. And so the only guidance we get about how to manage our emotions, and it's all about our emotions. You see somebody, you're like, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Like, how are you feeling? It's all about how we feel. That's life is about how we feel. Our experience in life is about how we feel, right? And that's all of our emotional waves that arise in us. And so, you know, good girls don't get angry. You're like, and so you just stuff it, you know, and it comes out in acne or rosacea or, you know, or a bladder infection or whatever. And this whole idea of raising your voltage, really the most important thing in it is breath. But the very next most important thing is really starting to examine the emotions you're feeling and what you're doing with them. Like, what do you do when you get sad? What do you do when you get angry? Do you like zip it? You know, do you put up and shut up? Mm-hmm. Because what that does is it throws water on your fire element. Mm-hmm. Okay. So our fire element is really important in our health. This is our plasma. This is our electric cell. Soul. This is the part of our being that we need to feed and take care of in a healthy, appropriate, diplomatic, functional way to get what you want. It wasn't modeled to us. So we end up, you know, doing stuff and blow. You put up until you can't anymore. And then something happens and you go out of proportion, extreme bitch. And then nobody wants to listen to you because you know, you're like, oh, I don't like conversation. You shut back down and no problem has been solved. It's been kicked down the road until you blow up again, efficiently, effectively, not solving any problem, right? Nobody taught you successful diplomacy. And so how to manage these kinds of things, I had to learn it the hard way. And the only reason I learned it was because I watched in client after client where I discovered, like, wow, the reason why you're sick or have pain here is because you have an emotion you're not expressing. You have a grudge that you're holding. You have a grievance you're not letting go of. All these things are trapped sounds. They're trapped tears. They're trapped words. It's something that was repressed and suppressed instead of expressed. Mm-hmm. And all of that, you know what that becomes? That becomes our baggage. And we carry it around with us. And it's not working for us, it's working against us. Because now it's like some kind of resistance and tension and freeze in your electrical system. The more resistance there is in your electrical system, the more your overall voltage drops. So people who have fibromyalgia and really chronic fatigue, any of these things they found, is that they're holding their authentic self back. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be good. They're trying to be nice. They're trying to be appropriate. They're trying to be a people pleaser. They're being a doormat. I know. I've been there. When my husband and I went to see a marriage therapist for the first time, after listening to both of us, he said, I'm going to say one word to you, and that's boundaries. And I was like, boundary? What's that? No boundaries. And when you don't have boundaries and you don't speak up for yourself and you don't have self-respect, you're just going to give everything away, hold yourself back, create a life that works for everybody else around you, but doesn't work for you. Because you feel guilty about your authentic self. You feel guilty about your natural inclinations. You feel ashamed of who you really are. Or maybe you don't even really know who it is because it's so buried under just going for a brownie every time you're, you know, or whatever, every time you're unhappy. So you got to start watching your emotions and what you're doing with them. And just keep my voice in your head that's saying express, don't suppress, but don't express by blowing up on somebody. You know, that's never effective. Go pound a pillow. Like, anger is a very, from a waveform or from an electric health kind of standpoint, anger is a staccato kind of waveform, and it makes us want to like punch and kick and, you know, express in some way. We can do that. You can do that scrubbing the walls in your house. Like, how often do you feel like scrubbing your walls? But if you're really angry, you can, like, you can take out all of that energy and actually accomplish something once that wave has passed, because emotional waves don't last very long, right? Jill Bolte Taylor says they only last 90 seconds. And then that wave moves through. So as long as you don't suppress it and hold it back, right? Because not only is that an electromagnetic wave, but it also kind of conjures up particles along with it, right? It creates a Candace Perkins calls the molecules of emotion. And so if, you know, if all of a sudden all these molecules of upset get generated and you stuff them back down with whatever your go-to is, like, those molecules don't get recycled. That wave doesn't get to break. And then it's going to go this thing that has both charge, electric charge and mass, has to go find some place to settle. It's going to go to your thighs, you know, wherever. So a lot of people's weight that they can't get rid of has nothing to do with exercise. It has to do with the emotions that you're eating, that you're holding back, that the words that you're swallowing, you know, holding myself back.
Yeah.
So, and I'll tell you what, one other thing, Christine, that might be helpful for people is that people who, you know, we're all exposed to heavy metals, right? I got a lot of fillings in my teeth, never felt the need to get rid of them, exposed to the same air, eat fish, blah, blah, blah. I don't sequester heavy metals, right? But there are certain people who do. And part of it has to do with exposure, but part of it has to do with people who suppress anger create a certain kind of tension across every cell membrane that makes it hard for the body to process heavy metals. Mm-hmm. There's too much tension, mm-hmm. right? So if you have heavy metal toxicity, and that's part of why your energy is low, I mean, there's mold, like some of the biggest problems out there are the mold and heavy metal toxicity that's going on, and the mitochondrial dysfunction due to man-made electromagnetic frequencies. Right. So a big part of why we're all sick and blah and this is because our environment is put in a lot of difficult stuff for us to deal with. Like, it's never been more important to raise your own voltage, to strengthen your own boundaries, to speak your truth kindly and diplomatically, to express your feelings through art or music or talking to a friend or having that that difficult conversation. Like, you got to get it up now. It's like now or never. I kind of feel it. Like, if you're committed to your health and you want to get better, then you have to take the steps to raise your voltage and stop thinking that it's going to be through celery juice, because that helps. Diet is important, but it is not the end all. You know, your emotional experience is more important than anything else. And it's possible to be quiet inside, to be neutral, to be joyful, to be grateful. Like, I found, you know, through a lot of discipline, through a lot of clarity, I got myself to that point of that kind of mental discipline, emotional clarity, where I can just kind of show up and be and, you know, be good. But it took a long time to get there. It really did. And so I also want to invite people to be patient, because in our world of lose 30 pounds in 30 days for $30, we get set up for this, you know, starting Monday, I'm going to be really good and da da da. And it takes time. The path of true healing takes time. And it's a lifestyle commitment. It's not like, oh, I'm going to get better. You know, I'm going to do this to get better. No, you have to develop a lifestyle that is completely committed to health. Health is wealth. If you don't have your health, if you don't have your mental health, your physical, your emotional, you know, nothing else matters. Right. So it has to be a lifestyle. And you have to be committed to it every day because you love and respect yourself. And taking care of you well is the best way to take care of everybody else around you.
Yeah, so many great points, Eileen. And as I hear you speak, you know, I'm a big proponent of terrain theory. So it's not just the pathogen or the toxicant, it's the, you know, the host response, right? And how resilient we are. And, you know, we talk a lot in my community about like how toxic the world is and how modern life and, you know, all this. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm just thinking like, yeah, we're out of time in our planet. Like, yes, detoxification, drainage should be a lifestyle, but really emotional drainage, emotional, you know, detoxification, like you can't really survive without it, you know, these days. So it's, you know, and that awareness is increasing, but the way that you're sharing, I just, yeah, I hear like that's such a big part of healing. And, you know, in this community that we're talking to right now, these are a lot of people who've struggled for a long time, right? Like a long time. And, you know, it's a long road. And, you know, I know that healing takes time and we have to be patient, but I think the things that you've shared have can also, you know, those breakthroughs to create momentum, to open up the, you know, where there's been stagnation and congestion and things starting to flow. So I'm so grateful for, you know, everything that you've shared.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's a really good point, Christine. And I will say that, you know, I'm shortcut Shirley. Like I'm always looking for the fastest, easiest, most direct, most efficient way to approach anything, right? Like I joke about how it took me 30 years to learn moderation, but I'm going to teach you to learn it in 10. So, but that's still, you know, still a decade to really get really, really good at moderation. I practice what I call moderate hedonism, and nothing is bad. Nothing is off limits. I love all the wicked things. I just do, you know, and I think a lot of people do. And so I don't, you know, I don't believe in like being good and pure and clean. I think in this toxic world, you need to have a certain amount of poison in your system, and you have to pick your poisons and not try to be good and clean all the time. I think that it's pointless. And plus, most of those things are fun. And if you're always clean, you're boring and it's not fun. And fun is really important too, right? So I really set out to like math moderation. But I will say that I've received quite a lot of biofield tuning, obviously having, you know, students for the last 11 years now and teachers and practitioners all over the world, that tuning or really any kind of, you know, learning about your electrical system and learning to take care of your electrical system. You move out of the paradigm of solid, liquid, and gas, and you kind of start incorporating these other elements and understanding them and learning them. They're empowering. Like understanding that you have an electrical system, like not only this, but it's like, to me, something that really speaks to unity consciousness, because it's all one light. Right? It's all one light. The light that's in me is the light in you. It's the same light. And it's in that there, you know, that it can't be created or destroyed, and it's ultimately one thing. So I think that that our solid, liquid, and gas world engenders this sort of Cartesian anxiety and illusion of separation, and that doesn't even exist in reality.
Yeah, no, very well put. And, you know, you and I both are dedicated, right, for people to have, you know, health, resilience, to live their soul's purpose, to have freedom, to have fun, right? You know, in this, you know, when you're in the healing world, it can get hard and heavy and not fun. So I think the lightness that you bring in, you know, the permission, right, that that we can enjoy the spectrums of, you know, all of it. And it's just, you know, what we have control of is how we metabolize and how we respond and how we, you know, keep going. And it's this, all of this work that you've shared and, you know, our emotional, electrical health is very much a part of this. So, I always love to hear your perspective, Eileen. And, you know, I guess, as we wrap up, people can obviously find a biofield a tuning practitioner, but you have a home tuning fork that I think is pretty user-friendly for most people, the Sonic Slider. And if you want to just maybe share, you know, anyone who's listening and just wants to start experiencing this within, you know, their own, within their own field and their own self. I just love for people to have a tangible tool to take home.
Yeah, good. So before I get to that, I do want to say that I have some free recordings on my website too. Okay. That are me recording audio sessions, and they're free. There's one that's on improving resiliency, because that's really key, isn't it? I mean, Christine, with everything you've learned, you're going to take hits, but how fast do you bounce back? That's life is stressful. How well are you going to manage it? We can't escape from stress or difficulty. And we don't want to, because then you would be soft and boring. And, you know, sometimes it's the most difficult things that make the best stories, that build the most character, right? So we want to be, we don't want to like not have stress. We want to be resilient in the face of stress. And that's where that's the electrical system. The more you get the resistance and the noise out of the electrical system, and out of the tissues too, the more resilient you are. And so there's audio recordings at biofieldtuning.com that you can listen to for free. And if you find those helpful, there's paid ones, and then there's also practitioners, right? But that's just all kind of going up in price. And I always like to help people with free stuff as much as possible. That said, this is the sonic slider. So this is a tuning fork. This is a weighted tuning fork. These are weights or barrels. And this one happens to have what's called a handle extender on it. Let me see if I can show it to you without a handle extender, a weighted fork. So here's a weighted fork without a handle extender. This is one of my old sonic sliders that I didn't expand the tines. But what can happen is if you bang them too hard, so what happens is they clang, right? So mine are specially made. There are no other weighted forks on the market that have been spread like this. The sonic slider is 93.96 hertz. And what that is the Schumann resonance, the mean of the Schumann resonance, 7.83 hertz. Some people claim that that is going up. Based on what I can understand, it's not. There are times when we see spike in amplitude and an accentuation of overtones or higher harmonics. But the fundamental baseline of 7.83 hertz, the electromagnetic pulse that's going on within the ionospheric cavity, really the Earth's biofield, right? Because the ionosphere is that kind of magnetic boundary that's like our own double layer plasma membrane. And just like the ionosphere bounces back certain waves and creates standing waves, right? We all learned that radio waves bounce around. So does the Schumann resonance. And that is the same model for standing waves in our own human biosphere. Right? There's no actual thing there, but there is an electromagnetic membrane that creates a particular atmosphere. And so the human biofield is no different, practically the same. Now I forgot where I was going with that. So it's okay. Let me just tell you. I know it was important. So here's the thing is that the Schumann resonance of 7.83 hertz is determined by the size of the ionospheric cavity. And if the Schumann resonance fundamental was going up, that would mean that the ionospheric cavity of the Earth would have to be shrinking in order for that to increase. And it's not. Okay, so I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, that's not really the Schumann. No, as far as I know, based on Roland McCready, we had a long conversation about it. HeartMath has sensors all over the world. To me, he's a real authority. He says it's not going up. So you can't make a tuning fork that's 7.83 hertz. It'd be like 4 feet long. Like you would not be able to wave it around your clients or use it on yourself. So what I did was I multiplied 7.83 times 12. And that created this sonic slider. And I designed this fork for self-care and for relaxation, for rejuvenation. I was actually motivated by vanity with me because I was starting to really, the fact that I'm a frowner and a squinter was really starting to show on my face. And I was like, oh my God, I got to figure out how to like iron this out. And so that was why I developed in the first place. But we've discovered that it helps with all kinds of things. It just, even if you get it and you don't know what to do with it, you know, but basically, I mean, it comes with instructions about how to use it on your body. But just moving it around, you can find places where there's what I call anomalous vibration, like especially around your head. And then you hold it and we're like, whoa, that there's like this wom wom thing going on. And any place where you find something funky going on, you just stay there. And it's like a metronome for your body's own rhythms. And your body is like, wow, I'm really off rhythm over here. But there's a strong coherent signal, right? So a strong coherent signal, physics again, basic science, a strong coherent signal overtakes a weak incoherent signal. So any place that you've got pain or discomfort, menstrual cramps, stomach ache, indigestion, joint pain, This strong coherent signal will overtake the weak incoherent signal of your body and introduce more coherence. Plus, the mechanical stimulation gets translated into electricity in the body. So it actually adds energy at the same time. So it has an interesting combination of being both sort of energizing but relaxing at the same time. You know, and that's the whole aim of sound healing, is really to bring people into presence in this moment, relaxed, alert, aware, you know, good. And so that's what the sonic slider aims to do, is just help bring you to presence and help you to breathe more, you know, and that's the simplest way to start healing, is just to keep bringing yourself back to now, right? Because another thing that really wipes people out is this tendency to always be future oriented and leaving this moment to be like, oh, I got to do this and going to do that and all this stuff, you know, or leaving to go to the past, like, oh, I shouldn't. And this is something I see a lot in chronic fatigue people, is this sort of like self beating up of like, I shouldn't have done this and I shouldn't have done that and I shouldn't have said this and all of this, right? And anytime you're doing either one of those things, you're pulling your juice out of your central channel, out of your experience of this moment. You're displacing your biofield and the energy running through it off to the side instead of in this moment. So the simplest thing is to start to tame your thoughts, become aware of your emotions, become still, and breathe more. And that's just a really, really simple, easy to do, even if you're bed bound. You know, you can, you know, set up a sneaker or something next to you, you got strikers, and just do this, and it's going to start to add energy. And you can do it with affirmation, right? I don't know if you've ever talked to Jonathan Goldman, but he has a great little equation that says frequency plus intention equals healing. So it isn't just the sound, but if you have an intention of, I, you know, and an affirmation of, I love my beautiful, healthy body. My body is healthy and strong. My body is getting healthier and stronger every day. You know, I love all these parts of myself that maybe I've been sending bad juju to, but now I'm going to send them good vibes and love, because love is really what heals everything. Really, it's that simple. then it can be, yeah, it can just be really helpful to just feel better in a really simple way.
It's beautiful and so well said. And, you know, we make things complicated, right? But in the core, you know, there's the simple truth. And I love your sonic slider. I have it. And so I highly recommend it. And I really feel like every patient out there should have it. So thank you for walking us through that. And thank you for, you know, your time today, Eileen. And again, if you could just share your website so people can find more about your work.
Yeah, it's biofieldtuning.com. And there's also biofieldtuningstore.com, although they're linked. So yeah, so go ahead and check those out. And there's one other. So if anybody really, wants to take a deep dive into understanding this electric health thing more, electrichealth.com, I compiled a whole bunch of peer-reviewed scientific studies that support this whole concept of the biofield and electric health. So anybody who's a researcher and you're trying to go out there and find scholarly articles, I compiled them all, a whole bunch of useful ones. There's at least 40 there. There's also a whole compilation of mainstream articles from like National Geographic and stuff that talk about the electrical nature of our environment, you know, like forest bacteria, gut bacteria, you know, that like everything in the environment is electric. The moon is magnetic, you know, from Smithsonian. So if you want to learn more about it and then you want to educate people, I created a lot of resources there and also linked a bunch of my colleagues who are doing interesting research. So that site was set up for, you know, for the geeky among you who really want to know more about this.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for putting that together. We really appreciate that. So thank you, Eileen.
Awesome. You bet, Christine. Be well, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.